Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Ben Scola Morning News. Good to have you with us this morning. Joining us now by phone, Mike Wood is out this week. Sergeant Brittany Sturgeon, she is the Assistant Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department and the driver of one of the few sedans that PPD operates. Sergeant, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Hi, thank you.
How do you like the sedan livery? I know when we met and we talked about it one time, you were a big fan. Are you still a big fan?
I guess you're talking about our new cruisers.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're good. So far, so good. I mean, it's definitely different. They're lower to the ground and they're fast.
That's what you need, right? That's the essential stuff.
That's right.
This last weekend, you guys had set up the joint command to deal with the McGuire's Run, the cruise ship, and what was the other one? My brain escapes me. There was a third incident. Oh, the Sunbelt Conference. How did that all turn out?
Oh, all very successful. The unified command and working with the emergency, management coordinator, I think it's a successful collaboration. Definitely go into these events a lot more prepared. But it was very good. We had ample security measures, with the run, great fundraising, successful event. I think there were over 10,000 runners. Even some officers ran it. Great for the area, great for business. And, weather was great. Overall, it was very, in general, all of it was a safe and fun experience.
Did Chief run? I know when I talked to him, I think it was last week or the week before, he had said he might run in it. He wasn't sure if he was going to be able to. Do you know if he ran?
I don't know, but I would be interested to know.
I know. He threatened to take me with him running, and I said, no, that's not going to happen for sure. Definitely not for me. It's kind of interesting that security coordinator position is relatively new for the city, right? Within maybe the last year or so, because previously it was always either, like, I know Jenny Craner does your emergency coordination for the city, but this security coordinator position, am I describing it right? That's kind of a new thing, right?
Yeah, the emergency management coordinator, that's the official title, is new, continuing to learn, but I would say it's been successful. The fire chief, took head of that in the past, and I think this is kind of to pass the torch to, keep a focus on safety, do a lot more of the collaboration and the behind-the-scenes work that nobody sees to get people together to discuss safety measures, but so far it's been a success.
There was some news that Channel 3 had paid some attention to, I think it was yesterday, maybe the day before, but over the last 2 days, this ruling on the red light cameras that came out of, I think it's Broward County, where the judge basically ruled that because there's a presumption of who's driving the car based on ownership of the car, that inverts the rebuttal presumption that you have to prove you weren't driving it instead of the police or the state attorney having to prove that you did commit the violation. I know this ruling is going to get appealed and we don't know yet what the final disposition of all that is, but how are you guys incorporating awareness of this decision, if at all, into what you do with the red light cameras?
Yeah, and this topic's been, pretty controversial for a long time and across the nation. It's been ruled both ways in a variety of different states and areas. We have 13 red light cameras in the city, and as with anything, and just kind of in a nutshell, law enforcement is all about the game of legislature. So if something is ruled unconstitutional, we change the rules of the game and we continue to play. So this is no different. If this, something is ruled unconstitutional, if having these cameras is unconstitutional, we'll adjust and obviously not utilize that. Again, it's not new. This happens all the time. The same with laws regarding, maybe marijuana or firearms. They change all the time, and we adjust to the legislature, and this will be no different.
I always think, just as an aside, I always think that it's a very difficult thing to keep up with those changes. I'm sure you guys have services that provide you with the information, attorneys, of course. But every year, the legislature does its thing, and so you have to do things differently. And I think keeping track of that is always kind of a challenge. Can you maybe, it might be helpful for people to realize what happens when you issue a citation, because always a PPD's officer's eyes go onto the citations for the red light cameras. What is there any identification of the driver, or is it entirely based on the car and the license plate? Like, how does that work, especially when the owner of the car says that wasn't me driving my car, it was so-and-so? Can you walk us through that a little bit?
Yeah, so it does, the system does look at the registered vehicle and then the registered owner. It does not focus on the driver of the vehicle.
Okay.
It is solely based on the registered owner of the vehicle, based on the license plate. You know, that's where it lies as being controversial. But it is civil. It's not criminal in nature. It's a civil system in line with this. But yeah, it is specific to the registered owner, not who's driving.
Okay. And so if somebody challenges that, and I know the challenges have been very limited. In fact, I'm not even sure. Has there even been a successful challenge yet against one of these citations here in Pensacola?
That I don't know. I do know that it has been minimal. I think there's been more since it was last reported on, maybe by very few numbers, but still, very low. Usually that is the argument from people. That is the argument is that they were not driving. And again, the way that the law reads is that the responsibility falls on the registrar of the vehicle.
Okay. And then, so as the law is written right now, that's essentially irrelevant. It's the registered owner that's responsible for the operation of the vehicle. So that makes sense legally. That's how, what the question, of course, is how that might change and then what you guys might do to adapt. And, you know, you may have to adapt, and I mean, so we will. Tonight, City Council is going to vote on the agreement, the memorandum of understanding with FDOT to finally put in place a graffiti bridge warning system on the southbound approach and the northbound approach with those kind of, you know, garage door infrared sensors and a bunch of lights and all of that. Obviously, the legislature will do what it does, and you will do whatever they allow you to do and whatever. But can you just maybe talk for a second? Because I know people have been raising eyebrows about the cost of $300,000. But to me, the cost is what we have right now and how many man hours or woman hours. And just generally speaking, the difficulty of dealing with that and how it impacts PPD's capabilities. Can you just talk about some of that issue?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's no secret that this is a regular occurrence. It's kind of been made humorous on social media. You know, I think there's a page dedicated to when this happens to make sure that these crashes are, discussed and laughed at. And weekly we're going out to these crashes and they happen. And of course, it's, you know, the bridge, end quote, always wins. But at some point, you know, there is some sort of responsibility to figure out maybe what's the solution to this and how long is that bridge going to be able to withstand that? Even with the inspections of the bridge, you know, you're taking a chance of just this reoccurring impact on this bridge. So I would say, you know, city engineers have worked to establish, you know, implementing this infrared system and what it would entail. And it sounds like, you know, it'll measure vehicles and it's been successful in other areas of Florida. And, you know, hopefully we can limit property damage and the monetary impact that comes from that. I mean, we get a lot of box trucks and even utility trucks that are very, very expensive.
Yeah.
And RVs. And this would come from the local option sales tax, is where this money would be, from my understanding, you know, to pay for the system. Because this is a safety issue. People are also out there when they're expressing their artistic abilities and they're out there painting the bridge and these crashes happen. It can be dangerous. It also can cause another crash, you know, from the debris or, you know, it is an issue overall. And I think that, you know, the city is just trying to figure out, you know, a solution to it. Because over time, we feel impelled that there's some sort of responsibility that may lie with trying to figure out a solution to fix it.
Fair to say PPD wants to see fewer crashes in general, less property damage, less life and limb damage, and the more we can make the whole community, including Graffiti Bridge and 17th Avenue, safe, the better. I mean, that's what you guys would celebrate. Last thing, sad note, really, really sad note, is K-9 Officer Jet wound up passing away. He was the bomb sniffer up at the airport, and a really sudden illness. His handler took him, you know, to the doctor and the vet, and they said go to New Orleans, and they did. And, you know, I mean, a lump that grew very quickly, and then a second lump that grew very quickly, and they still don't seem to really know, unless you know something, that what happened. But just an awful development.
Yeah, I mean, that's it exactly. I mean, in short, really, time just ran out. It was very sudden and unexpected. You know, Officer Heron, his handler, you know, his handler at the best that you can imagine. I would say he finds comfort in that, that, you know, Canine Jed is not suffering anymore. But it was a very quick, sudden suffering. The lumps formed. It was at a rapid speed. The second, once he got to the New Orleans, they discovered a second lump in his neck. I mean, and it was causing some labored breathing. He did pass away a short time, you know, there in New Orleans with Officer Heron, and he had some family by his side too. Tests were ran on what they could, and they came back inconclusive. It was just very rapid and fast. They did everything they could, and again, it was just very unexpected for us. I would say that, you know, Officer Heron does seem to have a really good support system with his airport community, and obviously the Pensacola Police Department and the outreach of the community expressing their concern. So really appreciated the support. It's been difficult for us, and then in general, just not having answers that we need.
Yeah, I mean, I was, you know, actually Officer Heron had sent me a note about this and, you know, appreciated the concern. And, you know, it was clear how distressed he was and how difficult this is to deal with. And I just think, you know, probably the whole agency, you correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, it's a very sad time for the agency right now because, you know, you guys all love each other and y'all, you know, you love your dogs and they're key parts of the team. And especially the ones, you know, like he's a friendly one, you know, he's not a be careful, he might bite you kind of mm-hmm. one, you know, so just it's, you know, just
sure.
a very, very discouraging moment to have that happen. But also, you know, nice that we have a community that supports and, a team that supports. And, you know, like you said, there's the resources. Sergeant Brittany Sturgeon, she is the Pensacola Police Department Assistant Public Information Officer. Brittany, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for what you do. I appreciate you being with us today, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Y'all be safe.